From Los Angeles, California, here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, and other organizations for the purpose of improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. This seminar is entitled Revelations on the Inner Master. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about the movement.
A few seminars ago, I quoted something from the Bible, which is unique or unusual, since I don't know anything about it. And in the quoting of it, I said I thought it was in Hebrews 4:4. I said, at least I know the 4 is there. Well, it wasn't Hebrews, it was Philippians. What I'd like to do is just read you that part that I had quoted in explaining of how to live in moderation. And it was chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That was the part I talked about all evening. I could have read it faster and we could have gone on to something else. But when you're making this stuff up as you go along, it takes a while longer. So while I had the book in hand, I thought I would just give it a fast run through, about like that. And I always read from the back to the front because I like to know what's going to happen. That's where the Hebrews read it. Well, you know, I didn't have too many lives in there. It's enough. I got rid of most of the syndromes, though. You know, like, oh, HIV, it's working, that's bad. If I'm not working, I'll fail. Where's the money? I just made $10,000. Where's some more money? Of course, you don't have to be Jewish to do that, can you? Is everybody, oh, where is it? It was interesting because I was reading through the book of Revelations, which was no revelation. Well, I know what it says. I mean, basically it says, watch out, here come the Lord. I hate to reduce these down to such homilies, but some people have, you know, we've talked about the mystical traveler and haven't talked too much about the inner master part of it, you know, that resides inside of you. So I thought tonight I would reveal a little bit to you about it. I don't like to do too much because there are certain people in the movement who will then take this information and pervert it to their own financial gain. And it's really not nice to do that. And they'll go away with all sorts of things. They fabricate their existence so badly that they wouldn't know the truth if it flew by and dumped on their head. And, you know, they have a right to do that, certainly. But that really brings spiritual karma, to parade the spirit in terms of names and hierarchy to your own consciousness when you don't have it. It gets to be pretty bad. And a couple of these people are really building some karma, and they have a right to do it. Of course, a lot of people say to me, well, why don't you tell them? And there is a biblical parable that sort of is what I've based my reasoning upon. And it was sort of the parable of the wheat and the tares, where they plant the wheat, and then during the night, somebody plants tares, or which are what we call, something that grows out of place called a weed. A weed. A weed is just a flower growing out of place. And in there it says, well, should we go and rip up all the tares? And it's like, no, because to rip them up, you might also rip up the wheat that you're growing. So what we do is we let them all grow to a certain height, and then we'll go in and we'll pull the tares out and bind them and burn them, and the wheat we'll bind and place in the shelter. And so these people can only go so long until they actually find themselves cut off and burned. But you can't do it now because the Spirit is actually using them in some sense of the word to bring the message of light and God and love to people. But at the same time, they're sowing an awful lot of thistle. Didn't you ever hear the story about the Mexican who talked to his friends and he said, I just come from a funeral. And they said, what happened? He says, my cousin was killed by a thistle. He said, he's killed by a thistle? He said, yeah. I said, what happened? He says, he was walking across the railroad tracks when the train was coming, and he didn't hear the thistle. That was one of those Garden of Whedon jokes. Stay with the folks. They're coming hot and heavy. I'm in the book of Revelation. But some people try to claim they're the inner master. And, you know, it's like, you think of me and I'll come to you in the sleep state and I'll help you. They can't do that. I mean, excuse me, that's an inexactitude. They can't do that. They would really love to be able to do that, though, and that's nice. And they like to see themselves doing that, and that's nice. But a hallucination spelled by any other drug is hallucination. And maybe they're on something they shouldn't be on, and it's probably an ego trip. But people said, are there any descriptions of the inner master in terms of any of these sacred scriptures? And I said, sure. And I thought, oh, why did I say that? I can't quote them scripture and verse. So one day I was picking up my Bible to move it and dust it off, and it fell out of my hands on the floor. And it's a bigger one. It's a big red-letter edition. I got the big printing in it. And it fell right open to Revelation. And I said, oh, this must be a sign. So I picked up my book of Revelation. And I said, in here, certainly there must be some description, somewhat, of the inner master. And so, God, this doesn't seem like the same book. I'll make it up. Well, you'll never know. You people don't read the Bible. Go read it. See what it says. I found out my big Bible, though, had a mistake. One place in there it says, and lean on me, and they changed the word, and it says, so learn on me. And I thought, oh, what a great error. Because you'd hope that you would learn. Okay. This is chapter 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Of course, that's quite obvious that the person was in the inner body traveling, in the soul body. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, I'm skipping 11 to go to 12. Well, I might not have told you that. I'll read 12. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and unto Ephesus. Now, the reason I didn't want to read these is because I can't pronounce these names. And to Smyrna, and to Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia. It's not Pennsylvania. And then verse 12 says, and I turned to see the voice that spake unto me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girth about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Right here are descriptions of traveling through the moon realm, the lightning worlds, the star worlds, into the astral body, seeing the radiant form of the Master, the inner form, which may or may not look like an outer form. And then upon that particular time, the revelations are given. That's as bad as accurate a description as you're going to get of the inner Master, other than maybe a purple ball, a flash of purple light. But I think this is much more descriptive. The Jewish people weren't at a loss for words when they were doing this particular thing. And it happened to be in 1 John 4:4. And it happens to have a description of the inner Master. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you know what it boils down to is that part of us that is the spiritual part in us is by far greater than anything that comes into the physical world. And you can take any avatar or God form in the physical world, and that part that is in you is greater than that. Jesus said it with John the Baptist. He said, as those who are born of women, he is probably the greatest. But the least one in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So we're talking about a greatness that will surpass, that will transcend verbal recognition, emotional qualification, and there's not too much you can do with it. And I think this is part of the reason, as well as having a soul, being the soul, that innately, meaning without reason or without any good reason, we resist and we resent anyone having any authority over us at any time. It's because we have that absolute majesty and power. And yet, if you're a young child that you have brought to the world is able to resist your authority as a parent, and you cannot teach that child in the way of this life, which is the discipline of this life, then you've lost the child, plus that promise of bringing the child up, you know, to walk in the path of spirit, of love and light, of happiness. And so we have to be careful that we do not assume we are that inner Master in a state of assumption, like, well, I just assume I am, and that would make it that way. It doesn't work quite like that. It'd be like assuming I'm a millionaire and I got it all here in the chair with me, and so we look and it's not there. It's like, well, but I own all things, so therefore I'm a millionaire. It's like, well, that's understandable on that level. What we call the macro consciousness. And when we're in that totality level, the totality statements apply totally. And when we are anywhere less than that, then we pick up the lesser qualifications of the statement till we come down to the micro, and then the macro is looked at as a far distant thing. And the micro becomes where we are, and that's the state of separation. But even in this, there's only this one substance that is all. We call it the ethers, more of scientific terms, and spirit in terms of religion and spirit vocabulary, that is cohesive and binding to all things. And in that, spirit has extended itself forward through the God form as an organizational effort, and give itself through God the chance to experience and express itself. It's quite obvious to most all of us that some of our most dynamic experiences are inside of us, in terms of wishful thinking or fantasizing or whatever. And that often the physical world just doesn't measure up to that expectation level of what we have built up inside to be. It's never going to, because that inside of us is the creative power of spirit. And we are gods in that creativity, and we have access to that power there, not here. And if we can keep in our consciousness, you know, very distinctly separated the different values of these spiritual levels and the laws that govern them, we start actually living a very enchanted life. That doesn't mean that we might not turn our ankle or get a headache or have to pay car payments or you know, whatever. It doesn't mean that. Those are laws of this level, and they apply universally and equally. You may think you're exempt from cancer and have a stroke. You may think you're exempt from poverty, but you have to keep everybody working to get the money to keep paying the help to keep you going. And so you're actually the slave to all of your labors and all of your wealth to keep it going. And so we're not exempt in terms of poverty or in terms of wealth. It really does equal itself out in almost every level we can think about. Even the injustice of physical disability levels itself out in terms of other qualities and spiritual essences that we have. Not is it always that readily obvious, because we don't want to look to another authority to tell us what it is. I want to do it my way. So we say, well, what is your way? What is your way? And it's like, well, I don't know. But I do know it's not your way. It's like now you have double dumbness going. You don't know your way, and you don't know my way. You may find out that it's both of our ways. Because we have to go through your dumbness, which is your way, to get to the spirit, which is the way we're doing it. Now, it's not the physical body's way. You know, the way of the physical body is corruption and decay. I think everybody's pretty well got that defined. If you don't think that's too true, I'll drive you down to the local cemeteries and let you take a look. You'll find out there's a lot of truth in the statement. It's what we call a functional reality. Actually, death is just avoiding relationship with life. You've given up that relationship and you're saying, I just don't care to participate there anymore. With that particular form of energy. Now, as trite as that may seem, if you think about it for a while, in terms of taking the emotions from death, then that makes a lot of sense. That quality that is the soul is separate than that quality that is the inner master in its discussion. In its macro, there are no separations and there are no differences. And when we finally, all of us, get to that one place that is the macro totality, we will all be God in that form. We're not dealing with that because that's not where we find ourselves at this particular moment. We find ourselves in the microscopic approach to it. And in this, God then has manifested itself as a very special form and has run an extension through all levels of creation and maintained that is like an iron rod or the rod of power. And that rod of power is, in essence, what we call the inner master. It is indeed truly an all-knowing, all-compassing, all-total loving force field that knows the intimacy of your beingness like the dirt under your fingernails. But also, in all of its wisdom, realizes the functional reality of soul experience, and that it is gaining that through your dabbling consciously in this world, and stands back as a benign father, if you will. When I use the word he, I am also referring to she and it and neuter at all times. So if I say God, he, I am saying God she, God it, God nothing. But just for sake of pronunciation here, I'd hate to say tetragrammaton all the time for you or some other highfalutin sound. So I'm just going to use the word he, low H. When you speak of something as you would like a savior or Jesus Christ or a Buddha or an avatar, then you use a capital H to say, I'm talking about a very specific divine essence that manifested itself. But when we speak of God in that totality, it isn't necessary to do that. Even if you capitalize it, you haven't done anything. Because you still don't know what it is, because it's in a totality that you cannot participate in from micro levels. In the micro level sits this inner form, this master form, that can be whatever it wishes to be at any particular time in space and distance. To the votaries of the mystical traveler, it will look often like this physical body, often. Or it will look like that we have described it in terms of color rays and energy. When you're dealing with people who are following the Krishna, or the Hari, then it may appear as a guy with blue legs and a flute and blue arms and maybe a blue face or something else in terms of them. In terms of God not being a dummy, only God can be all things to all people all the time. The inner master is that form. And in essence, it separates and forms an identity level with you, inside of you, as something that is cognitively real with you. Not a hallucination, but something that you can talk to, that you can ask questions of, that you can love, that you can adore, that you can feed, that you can ignore, that you can yell at and criticize, and it just shines you on all the time because it knows the ultimates that you're dealing with and it keeps that ultimate present in the micro consciousness that you're in. So you never lose track, truly, of the vision. You will purposefully and responsibly turn from the spirit, from the traveler, and enter into darkness. And you are doing that willfully as a process of your way. Now, you really can't fault that because there is that consciousness of willfulness and maybe wantfulness when we will do this and we won't do that for whatever reason we deem reasonable. But the whole field of play here is just God playing with God, playing all the roles. But we have not had that experience. We can word level it, say it to ourselves, put it on tape and play it back to ourselves, and we may be able to hypnotize ourselves to some extent to that validity. And we may be able to have other people adore us to some extent to maybe convince us that that might possibly be so. And we may even set ourselves up and advertise ourselves by flyers that we can do all that in attempt to reach into it. But the matter of fact is, most of these things are just nonsense. And so that that's been called the metaphysical, the psychic, has really had great disrepute. It's almost like, oh God, another cult. You know, it's like, oh, what are they going to rip me off for this time? Well, I'm going to rip you off for your soul. I can tell you that right now. That's the only thing I'm dealing with here is that soul back into that consciousness of God. That's the prime directive, the prime order. Anything that is in that, I handle 90%. Anything that's not, that's 10%, and you handle. Of course, having that inner master quality, then you're able to handle a whole heck of a lot of things within the force field of that person's consciousness to make it all appear as very natural, or what we call supernaturally natural. That at some point you say, yes, why not? That's the way it is. Not the way I thought it was, not the way they told me it was, but that is it. Naturally it would work that way. And every time you do it that way, it appears like that, and it works like that. And you find a profound sense of freedom, a very profound sense, because that master inside is the genie. It's the open sesame. It's the abracadabra. It is the alpha, the omega. It is that that always is always. I'll tell you right now, if you're a follower of the truth, then you are undeniably and unquestionably a follower of the mystical traveler, because that very is the essence of truth. It is that very essence. It has nothing else in it but that. And that's why it's so difficult to get a hold of in this world. Truth is such a rare commodity. It's become so relative and so qualified. And I even find it in my staff of saying, well, who said what? And finally, I just go like this. It means that's past. Let's try the next thing. And we finally come to the idea of, in this level, communication is going to be, at its very best, bad. At its very best, it's going to be bad. I used to tell them, I said, I used to just want perfect communication from you people, just to really open up and say it. I said, now I'll be satisfied if you just do anything, no matter how bad it is. Anything. I'll settle for anything. Just give me anything. Well, we're waiting to see what that'll... That was today's last appeal. We'll have to see what that is. There is only one truth, and that is God. Think about that for a second. Only one truth. There's only one thought, and that is God's thought. There's only one soul, and that's God. There's only a oneness in all things manifesting itself as diverse activity. And that's us. Every one of us, collectively, unilaterally, horizontally, vertically, perpendicularly, 365-degree circle. I know it's 360. That's for the 5% for those who's looking for a mistake. There always has to be something for everybody. Since we've already reached most everyone. Keep in mind this, though. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Berush Beisham.
John Rogers' closing words were Berush Beisham, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.